you can try by trying it again.
Experiencing in my conversations today is no matter what the medium, it's all about storytelling.
Right on. Yeah.
And with you, it's like it's there's the music, but there's also points and themes that you're trying to make within your performances. And I found myself bouncing back and forth, watching both at the same time, watching two different things. But it was like, this is all storytelling, and I'm like, I'm hooked to find out how the story ends, if it ever does end, with your music. And also, and number two, which is a lot to consume from all the questions and stuff that I'm talking about right now, is when I first met you, there were songs called Paper Snake, all these like early folky, Rio Static-y kind of songs. But now you've evolved from this folk, prog rock kind of vibe. But also, I'm catching you putting on an accent. Am I going crazy here? But I just swore I was listening to someone who was from New York tell me a story.
I don't. That's a lot of to take in and respond to.
It is. I don't mean to blame. I don't mean to throw it all on you. But it's like, wow. You know, like, yeah. I'm a little bit taken back at watching both of these separate performances right now.
Yeah, I just I figure with my, I always sort of get into a zone with my music, and when I'd write songs, I never thought of myself as a storyteller in my songs. Sometimes people would, refer to, I always resonated with songwriters who were storytellers, and I always thought I thought of my music as more vignettes or these kind of abstract pieces that people could take in and respond to whoever they'd like or interpret whoever they'd like. But it occurred to me that they are often sort of unfinished stories, or there is sort of a theme that carries through multiple songs. And one of the reasons I've started yammering at my shows a lot is because I'm trying to flesh out some of these, tease out some of the kinds of stories that I would normally just scratch the surface of. I dabble in with my songwriting. So I feel like when I'm writing a song, sometimes it feels like I'm just, it's the same feeling. I'm telling these, making up these stories as I go, or not as I go. I think of them a day or two before the show and I practice them a few times and they're never quite finished, but as I process them, they get more finished. And so often I look back at the songs I'd written and I see them as a very early stage of one of these stories with lots of little vignettes or scenarios or situations or kind of a concept that hasn't fully resolved. And it makes it a bit ethereal or surreal. And so the stories I'm trying to dive in a bit deeper and tell them, you know, with a bit of a beginning, middle, and end. It's also a bit of a cheat sheet. It's a bit of a what is it? I found that I can overcome my writing block with just yammering through stories in this way too, because I feel like I'm a writer, but I can't write because immediately I hit a wall when I try to type anything out. I start to finish. When I have something I've partly written, or I'm given something that's written, I get really into sort of digging in and perfecting it. That's what I have a lot of fun doing. So when I'm telling a story, it's like I make it up, it's in process. You know, maybe when I talk through a story on my Red Brain show or at a live show, it's sort of the third time through that story. And then what I can do is listen back and write it all down, and then I can go in and change it and tweak it to make it into something actually that's truly crafted. So there's a number of reasons I'm doing that, the storytelling. And one of the main drives for me is that getting some raw material I can go back to and actually write.
Going 140 on the 401. The cop lights flashed me down outside Kingston. The officer said, son, I'm just like you. Try to ease up and pass on through. I'm shifty in the customs line. My suitcase is full of shitty Dutch wine. She hears the bottles rattle and clink. Whizz me right through with no real wink. My shopping cart won't fit anymore. Thoughtlessly, I walk right through the door. The clerk said, you don't look like a thief. I will let it slide, you can pay me next week. Oh, someone fixed the game for me. Someone fixed the game for me. I'm not on top, but I can see that somebody fixed it for me. I'm sick and scared of living downtown with the disenfranchised, volatile crowd. The bank man said he would sell us a loan for a no-money-down suburban home. What could go wrong when the cop, the nurse, the fire brigade, I break down, they all run to my aid. It don't matter just how deep I get stuck. Someone arrives to dig me up. Someone fixed the game for me. Someone fixed the game for me. I scrambled high enough to see that somebody fixed it for me. When other blokes get tossed at the clink, I sneak by to frolic and drink. Some say it's 'cause I'm clever or nice. That's just code for privileged and white. So if you're of the less fortunate, man up and oppress somebody else. Then in a generation or two, someone will fix the game for you. Like someone fixed the game for me. I got a pair of nines and I'm hit with a three. I'm no card shark, but the dealer knows me. Somebody fixed it, I see. But a storm has come. There's a flood rushing in. It's up to my neck and it's through to my skin. Keep your head down. Everything's fine. Don't worry about yours. I got what's mine. You see the auctioneer? He's manning the raft. He's calling out the oars and the mast. If I can bid the other guy down, I will sail home, the rest can drown. Someone fix the game for me. Someone fix the game for me. That sun's so hot, but I'm sailing free. Somebody fix this for me. Yeah, someone fix the game for me. Someone fix the game for me. Not a drop to drink, no land to sink in. Somebody fix this for me. Can't somebody fix this for me? Can't somebody fix this for me?
But this is I mean, you did explain that, yeah, sure, these are different things that I'm working on, that, but are these stories or vignettes, are they to get you from one song to another, or is it part of like a or is it a long story and you're just breaking it down shorter?
Yeah. It's usually each show, there's one story that I tell, and it is broken up between by songs. And, you know, there's a number of reasons I started doing it for the Red Brains is because I'd play, you know, I have a certain number of songs memorized at a given time because I don't know. I don't have sort of an encyclopedic song brain. I've you know, written lots of songs and learned lots of covers. I'm not the type of person who can just go back and remember a song I played, you know, 12 years ago. And,
sure,
you know, I need to kind of arm myself with the songs I'm going to play the next show or the next few shows. And so I find it's repetitive for me if I'm playing, you know, cycling through the same 20 songs week after week. If I'm going to do this thing every week, which for some reason I feel compelled to do right now, for better or worse, you know, it might be just, you know, it's may or may not be wise for me to put these things out there each week, but I feel compelled to do it. And I find that I'm repeating some of the same songs again. So to keep it interesting for myself, I'm kind of floating these story ideas the day before, and it keeps me on my edge. Like, it's something I'm not familiar with. It keeps me a little bit nervous going into it because I'm not nervous going into playing songs anymore. I can feel that nervous energy when I have to go in and tell a story. And also, you know, I think I can mess with my own head I kind of hit a spot. It's a itch I'm trying to scratch in my own psyche. And sometimes I can get there with the storytelling more readily than with a song that I've sort of played, you know, 50 or 1,000 times. You're going to slip it to somebody's soul. There's a worm in the pocket from the back of the fields. You can wait that the sucker doesn't go to feel the squirm. Squirm. Needy wormy on a doctor's bed. In a garden or a loaf of bread. He's been hiding in the bowl of grass. Squirm worm scoping it to somebody nice. He's like a slide down your shoe. You kind of root your gut. In a black blood wormy at the jack in the bar. Check it. Check that one. Squirmy woman needs a lousy friend. A crummy lover with a heavy hand. A leafy wormy in a nasty part. A burning buried in a broken heart. Get a cool piece of copper or a sodium knife. A red fire, pull it out a white hot light. Cooking that worm. I'll tell you now.
That's the old adage that I've always heard, that how do I keep my set fresh? Whereas my interpretation of what you're doing is that you're keeping the whole thing fresh by doing the storytelling and then the song. Like it's to me, it's like almost two separate entities that you're trying to push together and trying to find a way that it does actually work together. But when I made that comment, when we first started talking, I was starting to fall under the impression that you were becoming a character within the story that had nothing to do with you. There was a whole other persona that was telling the story. And maybe that might be me reading too much into it. But to me, when I watched a bit of the Red Brain show, that's the vibe that I got. I was no longer Wax Mannequin. It was no longer Chris. It was this whole other entity that was telling the story.
Yeah, last night, I don't know why I did. Usually I enter the stories like it's about a friend that I met or I vaguely remember, or it's a friend. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I just made them up or if it is in fact somewhat true. And that's kind of true because I do, like, a lot of the stories are based on things that happened to me before, but I twist them into a more electric sort of psychotic realm. And some of them are from my childhood and that sort of thing. So I kind of introduced them that way, that, you know, this is a friend of mine that this happened to. And then you take it down a trail of maybe this could be true or maybe it's not. And maybe it is in fact true the way I'm remembering it. But also what happens is that last night, I don't know why I went there, but I was telling this story as though it happened to me, which I don't usually do. And looking back, I'm like, oh, it was a bit of self-sabotage too, because I do that a lot, right? It's like, I don't know if I'm nervous or I'm excited. I feel really hyped to play at the bridge work and got this band that we've been practicing, you know, the best we could during a pandemic.
Sure.
Feeling fairly confident with some very talented musicians and a great team setting up the show. I'm like, well, why don't I just make up a completely freakishly disturbing story? And then I, for some reason, I told it as though it happened to me. So I'm watching back. I'm like, this is upsetting to me when I listen to this story. I hope people hear this and realize that it's sort of what you said. It's kind of a caricature or a character that I'm putting on. I mean, I think it is a slice of Wax Mannequin who's telling that story, but he's a shifty guy. He kind of definitely is a shapeshifter. So,
well,
and he's not always the protagonist. He's like, even from earlier records in The Price and stuff.
Some people fear that if they slip between the cracks, they will fall forever down with no way back. But I will share with you a controversial something. Down here, it's an awful lot more interesting. Once there was a fellow walked a well-paved path, safe from the scoundrels of the ragged class. Toll on heavy toll left him indebted, with nothing but his dreams and things regretted.
Boring, boring.
The straight and narrow leads you straight to
boring. Boring, boring.
Falling down is flying when you're drunk. Once there was a lady with a perfect plan. She got a doctorate in arts and met a rich man. She waited on him with a ticking hunger, till she walked in on him kissing someone younger.
Boring, boring.
Clouded a certain chance of
boring. Boring, boring.
I prefer the weather. Pistos pub, they made a pact to give up all they're supposed to love. They torched their homes, they crashed their cars, ate their pets and shredded all their credit cards. Now they sing and drink their way from town to town. He plays viola, she works the crowd. They live off the dumpster at the dollar store. They forget the shit that doesn't matter anymore. Their lives are anything but boring, boring, boring. We won't know where they're headed till they're dead. But what about the big man with the red right hand? He hoarded every treasure of the seven lands. But we can save him, we can sing him from his stupefying bubble. We can drag him screaming down to our own level.
Boring, boring.
Good intentions pave the road.
Boring, boring, boring.
Na 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 na. at the thorny garden gates. We'll shake them till their rusty hinges break. We'll feed that rotting apple to the snake.
It's a different character. There's yeah, to definitely. Me, it is all different here, and it's so strange that you say that that you know your last night performance for the Red Parade show. I know I read this before where you were putting on the internet. I'm really sorry about how I came off.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. And to me, it was like when I read that, I went, oh, he's suffering from anxiety. Like he's like,
oh, constantly. I always put my shit through the ringer after I do it. And, you know, I try to be aloof. I'm like, yeah, that's all cool. That's just the way it is. But, you know, I think anyone who creates stuff has moments of, you know, they got to work through it after the fact.
Yeah.
And,
but you know, I've heard comedians in the past who do their bit, you know, and they'll tell it, they do long story, they're doing their jokes and they get heckled. And then after the show, some people would say to them, you don't really feel that way, do you? And I even remember like Anthony Jeselnik saying 99.9% of the time when I'm on stage, it's comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm not that person. These are just jokes. Like we're making jokes about all of these things. You know, but I'm not that person who believes in that stuff, right? You know,
certainly
having a laugh.
I guess people aren't. I mean, I'm still trying to refine my skill as a storyteller, and so it's kind of weird to try to reinvent myself when I'm, however old I am, 40 something, but 43. But you know, it's just what has to be done, and so I'm practicing at it. And it's true that it's a bit maybe unexpected. It's more expected and accepted when a comedian does that, right? Mm-hmm. And also in the art of storytelling, which I guess you threw that word out there, and I guess now that you mentioned it, I can resonate with it when I see sort of storytellers on stage doing their thing. They're not always them, or they're clowns, or they're putting they're wedging themselves into this strange nook of their mind, of their psyche, and just blowing that up and making that real. And that's kind of what I think of my stories as I'm, you know, there's something going on. There's some facet of consciousness in my mind that I just kind of, I want to dig into and explore and put out every nook and cranny and see if I can make it into a real being or a real idea. Doesn't exist in the same laws of our universe.
Someone tried to tell you that people are the same. Given all or nothing, you'll take all of ours till nothing remains. Nothing but the claim. I hear what they're saying. If people treat you wrong, shut them out entirely, it's a righteous slave. Keep yourself strong while get alone. People can change. People can change. People can change. Show them out.
the music that you're doing and some of the stuff that you're trying, there's like different phases everyone goes through in their career, whether it be a writer, actor, whatever. With the wax mannequin, was there a change in how you present yourself, the brand term? But see, when I was younger, I'm an old man. When I was middle-aged, I don't know, when I used to see you perform, it was just guitar, soft-spoken delivery, and there was that type of material. And then as I would watch you perform later on in years and record, then I would see a candle melting on your head. And it was like, and then I thought, well, is this to accentuate the songs, or is this a point, or was this to keep everyone's attention? When I see you now, we are at that stage of either what you're having on now with the toque and the plaid, but I'm noticing there's like a facial covering over your eyes.
Oh, it's just a piece of mesh that I wear, yeah, over my eyes.
Is that is that another character that's coming out in your music, or is that just something to grab a visual effect? Because in performance art, there's always lights or the quietness of a moment, and then a flash of light to harden a point. Is that part of something new that you're doing?
It's kind of sneaky to partly cover my eyes like that. It's a bit like a sneaky mask, like a thief, but it's not, it doesn't have eye holes. It's just sort of semi-transparent, or it's been a bit of piece of mesh. So it's not entirely covering my vision, but it's partly covering my vision. It's a little bit of a disguise too.
When did it start?
When did I start doing that? I started doing that after, I started doing while I was doing shows in lockdown. I think a year or so ago, a year and a bit ago, what was it? Might have been the arts. There was a show going on in Hamilton. They asked me to do a live stream show, and it was the first one. I was like, I didn't want to do any of that, because for me, I was just, I'm a live concert guy, and
right. But was
even
that, was
recording?
That
I don't want to put an album out if I can't play it live. It's just strange to me. And for the first part of the lockdown, I was like, well, I guess I'm just not going to do music for this time. And I literally just didn't do, like, I wasn't playing my guitar, I wasn't doing anything. And someone asked me to do live stream. I said, well, what the hell, I might as well. And I got kind of a kick out of it. But for me, I had to approach it more like a, you know, cable access show. And, you know, I watch other live streams, is great. People just play their guitar and sing their songs. And I wish I could do that for me when I'm doing a live stream. I feel like it has to be, like I have to make a little universe. And so part of that is, you know, defining the space, and that it's outside of, it's a sneaky space outside of, you know, wherever, it's the Red Brain Show. And I have a little mask that I wear and stuff. Just something that needs to be done, at least right now. I do the projections too, because again, that gets me outside of space and time.
When the beast rises up, when the beast rises, everyone hide your love, fortune and fame, don't learn his name. When the beast takes the stand, hear his word, but be wary, this perfect brand, if you call his lies, he'll know your hand. Our stranger hands touch for an instant on this crowded city. Your home, when the fear drives your family out to the cold, you won't be to blame, you won't be alone. We can live on the land, move along as the water's uncanny sheen brings silver to veins, rivers to flame. We talk for hours, a garden path we'll happily meet again, we meet again. When the beast wants for land, when the mountains and prairies are tilled to sand, here is call. He brought us the fire. We should follow his fire in the darkest hole. May families grow till oil burns low. I watch you sleep. I hear a primal purpose in your thoughtless breath. So brave, so weak, strange new life, strange new life. So make peace with our will, make war with our neighbors on devil's night. Crack at the dark till it leaves light. To the east, come the west. Where they meet, we'll be putting his peace to rest. Wine from his will, bread from his breath. There the east, come the west. Where they meet, we'll be putting his peace to rest. Wine from his will, bread from his breath. There the east, come the west. Where they meet, we'll be putting his peace to rest. Wine from his will, bread from his breath. To the west, come to east. Where they hit, we'll be putting this dog to sleep. Grind up his bones, dole out the meat. Yeah, the west, come to east. Where they hit, we'll be putting this dog to sleep. Grind up his bones, dole out the meat. Yeah, the west, come to east. Where they hit, we'll be putting this dog to sleep. Grind up his bones and roll up the meat. Said the west, come to east. Where they hit, we'll be putting this dog to sleep. Grind up his bones and roll up the meat.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them, and you have the projector behind you, that sort of thing, and it just reminded me of years ago, before there was an art crawl, there was always a certain show that would happen in the odd space in downtown Hamilton. Someone would do a show like that, but you're doing it on the internet, and is it more to keep you interested in it or to keep the viewer interested in doing it?
It's just, like I said, it's like if I'm going to do a show on that's not in front of anyone, that is in front of my computer box and in a rectangle, I feel like, and maybe it's just because I grew up on like shitty TV Ontario shows or Hilarious House of Frightenstein and right. stuff like that. I feel like, okay, if I'm going to do this, it's got to be, I got to make a little universe, and that's, I'm just kind of following it where it takes me. You know, I liked on how on Hilarious House of Frightenstein had these, they'd have these trippy backgrounds and they'd dance in front of them. And sometimes of the blue screen, the trippy background would be on their clothes and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I don't do that. You know, you can do that with the computer, but instead I just shine a projector of either intergalactic space flight, or maybe I shine sort of clouds shooting by and you can see projecting on me, but also on the wall behind me, and you can see the shadows and stuff. And for me, that's just part of, and the mask, and you know, the things that I do and say, it just takes me there. And I don't know, I'm hoping the handful of people who watch it are taken there too, or kind of get a vibe off of what I'm doing in it. Cause when the more I do it, the more of I feel like I'm building a vibe,
right?
And I'm able to tell these stories.
Is it structured in the sense of time for you? Like, it's like, okay, I'm only gonna do an hour of this, or I'll stop it when I feel that I can end it on the right note.
Yeah, I'm always hoping to keep it like half hour, but it often goes really long. It's just kind of mostly it's done when I feel like it's done. Usually for a good month or two there, I had the goal of hitting a new song every night. So I'd write something, and that song is usually like half finished by the time the show night comes along. So I'll say, like, there'll be part of the show where I'm saying, this is the new song for this week, and I'll play it. Mm. I'll have the words in front of me off the screen. And that was been really good for my, getting my creative juices going. I mean, the whole thing really is I'm just trying to find an excuse to keep making things. when I can't play live. Because, you know, sure. for the first part of the lockdown, it's just, like I said, I just said, I guess I'm not going to be making any music because I just had no, I don't know why I wasn't picking up my guitar or anything. Now I'm picking it up all the time, writing these songs. I'm making candles too, because I feel like the candles somehow well, that go
was,
with the show.
That's where I was leading with the earlier comment, and I was going to bring it up, is that I'm so happy you are now selling candles of yourself, like the whole head, and I even saw one of a hand, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've come up with different ideas. They're getting more abstract too. I'm just trying to play around with the medium, see if it sticks, see if I can do anything interesting.
How many t-shirts can you buy of somebody?
Pardon me?
How many t-shirts can you buy of an artist, right?
Like, oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, I already have three of their shirts.
Well, and even music, you know? It's like in this time, I was, not joke, but I wonder out loud how, I've, you know, a lot of people put out albums during lockdown. And
yeah, some people did.
People getting to do shows again too, so it makes more sense. But I was like, I've been sitting on this mostly finished or a lot of stuff that I just didn't feel the wherewithal to release because I can't, even if I'm doing a weekly show, it doesn't feel right for me to, I mean, you can put it out on Bandcamp or I could say do pre-orders. Everyone, if you want a record, pre-order it and then I'll press a bunch.
Sure.
Still, it's like for me, putting out a record is like, just because it's just where I'm hardwired. You get a bunch of boxes in your garage or you go to and you pick them up from the plant and they right. smell a certain way. And you pile them in your garage.
There's a ritual.
Put a box in the car and the truck or whatever. And then you take it to the show and you put them on the table with all the merch and you get that all set up and you do the rock show and then you go to the merch table and just hang out with everyone. Like that's like doing an album without that just doesn't make sense at all. So.
Change, but you cannot change me. I can change, but you cannot change me. You can change, but I cannot change me. You are the change I'm a bed. I believe you do not believe me. I believe you do not believe me. I can see you were wrong to need me. No one believes you like me. I believe what you try to tell me. I believe what you try to tell me. Change, but you cannot change me. I can change, but you cannot change me. I'll be gone by the summer's end. Every night in the rain, I consume just a meaty part. I consume just a meaty part. You assume I'm a beating heart. I feel for what I am. I will hide where you never find me. I will hide where you never find me. I will hide till I'm mutant blind. Part of my nightly terror. Every part is alive and terror. Crowd round the foot of my bed. Tie me down and do what I said. Tie me down and do what I said. Put the skulls rattle on my head. Proceed to hastily remain. I can change, but you cannot change me. I can change, but you cannot change me. You can change, but I cannot change me. You are the chains on my bed.
Side. No one go down the other side. No one go.
but now though we are moving forward.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone is getting vaxxed.
Hope so.
We're getting to that point now where I know they just announced they're going to move up stage three. And they said that there are certain venues of half capacity, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So having said those things, are you getting close to putting out an EP, a new EP? Because I believe the last thing you released was in 2019.
Yeah.
But that's 2 years ago, right? Yeah. You know, 2019 seems like another lifetime to me right now. Like I've been in shutdown mode like everyone else. It just seems like a whole other timeline that we had a life, right? So, but now that we're getting closer to the opening, is there a chance of doing a little bit of recording and releasing an EP coming up in the end of 2021 or 2022?
For sure. Sure. For sure. I put a single out early, or maybe right before the lockdown, or early lockdown. And then I'm going to do another one of those. And then I have an album that's, I'm really excited about a lot of the songs I'm playing now on the show. And I played a lot of them last night. Roughed through them. And I think it's recorded. It's out west with my buddy Corwin Fox, but a lot of people from Hamilton play on it too. And a lot of people from the West Coast, because we had to do, you know, bits of it here, bits of it there. But I just got it as soon as they'll let me, I got to fly out there and just finish it. But it's like 90% tracked and 70% mixed. And, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be an amalgam of some of the heaviest, most bombastic and loud proggy stuff that I've ever done. And a lot of, you know, just contemplative folky things, but a bit more produced, a bit more lush sounding.
If you need a place to hide, I'll help, I'll keep you underneath my floor, or the space above my house. When they come for you, I'll swear that you ran south. And after the revolution, I will let you crawl back out. There's a reason they declined your civil rights card, 'cause you don't clean up nice, and 'cause you're trying too hard. Every census answer leaves a little piece of cancer in your brain and in your low back. No one ever dies from that. I'm gonna run you in. There's a reason we kicked down your door last night. It's 'cause you agitate, not just 'cause you do not love right. Free to associate, but we are way more free to hate. You say you're caged in like a starved rat. No one that don't feels like that. You're gonna kill them. Drink yourself to sleep and dream of someplace all inclusive. You'll wake up in a month surrounded by the ones you love. Hey, I love you. Don't die. We love you. Please don't die. I love you. Don't die. We love you.
Would you say bombastic? Is that a result of this lockdown? Like you've been like a caged animal for a little too long, and then you?
I don't know. Most of these songs I wrote before lockdown. I've been writing.
But the production doesn't mean that, though.
Say again.
Well, you wrote the songs beforehand, but my point is that Now, all of a sudden, you can make them sound super huge or loud or whatever with a lot of energy. And I was thinking, is that a result of being pent up as long as you have? Because, Chris, you always toured. As long as I've known you, you've always been the guy that goes out west, takes a shot over to Europe, that sort of thing. Not so much the States, because it costs money, visa, to get down to the States. But you've always been that guy that's had the touring bug.
Yeah, I will again. And I mean, I think there is a certain pent upness, but there always is with me. I mean, part of my personality is pent up, and then I bust out in song form sometimes. And for me, the way I've come to terms with it is that it's like, and what I've realized I've been doing, I think, is trying to capture as much of the human experience within either one song or one record or one performance, right? It's like, it doesn't make sense to go sit down to a show and experience one thing, you know, or 10 songs that are kind of the same vibe. Like that drives me crazy. Like, no disrespect to, because there's, you know, music is wonderful, but my vibe is like, because of the way my brain is wired, my neurology needs like a lot of different kinds of stimulation.
Sure.
And so my song comes out that way. And so when I realize when I'm putting on a show, it's like, I want to be able to delve to the dankest, kind of most disturbing themes you could imagine and celebrate that. And then rise up to like a balloon party and, you know, with basketball, you know, a big balloon party at the end and get everyone jumping around. Because like, that's what because really for all of us, like we might kind of try to ignore or wish that didn't exist, the deepest pits of our, you know, bipolar depression and whatnot. Or, you know, if you're like me, it's like one day is, you know, the weirdest, darkest feeling you've ever swam through. And the next day you're just on top of the world and bouncing around. And I just try to put that into music and in my live show, because I really think it's all worth celebrating ultimately. And so when I get really loud, and like you said, a lot of my early stuff was pretty quiet and prog folky weirdness, but there was always the metal guy in there too. Thank God for that.
Because I mean, if you would have been playing the same style for too long, you would have made yourself bored. Right. And that could be, that's a killer. If you become bored with what you're doing.
I think that is ultimately what it boils down to, and also kind of explains the storytelling bit. I have to do everything in my power to prevent myself from getting bored, which is kind of a theme of the age. It's obviously, it goes without saying that we're overstimulated, and you know, our minds are trained to find ways to not be bored, or to feel like being bored is torture. So I'll have to put out a really boring record next. I don't know.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
Something I could do ASMR or something like that.
Really?
No, I could. Maybe I could. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe that's what I should try to do. See if I could go there.
I just want to see you perform again live with some people in the audience. So why don't we just shoot for that one?
I'm excited for that day. And it's, I mean, hopefully it's soon, outdoors or indoors. You know, things are happening. I see Brody's booking some stuff. I see, what else is there? Some lot,
there's
indoor events on the horizon.
There's, I think about 3 weeks ago when I read that, big touring promotional companies were announcing dates for old time heavy metal acts. I went, okay, we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go.
Yeah, yeah. But
we're going to be all right now.
Let's just see how those pan out. Yeah.
They never risk their money. So yeah. When it was like that 50th anniversary of, you know, Rob Halford and the boys coming to Hamilton at First Ontario, I was just like, I think we're going to be okay.
It's a safe bet, eh?
Yeah, because they don't throw out that money unless they know the tickets that they could put on a show like that. So
I hope you're right.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, people who have a lot of money don't like to part with their money. So they're the ones that are in the know before you and I are. So, hey, man, thanks for taking the time for having this chat.
Follow the money. Yeah, thank you, Gunner. Thanks for having me on. This is it. Yeah, this is Wax Mannequin. You can check out my Bandcamp, waxmannequin.bandcamp.com. My Instagram is where I'm doing stuff. Instagram/wax_mannequin. I'm also on Facebook. So all that stuff. But it's been a slice. It's been a lot of fun.
You leaned into it, tied yourself to power, working vacant words, perfectly woven with the misery of living, with the dying out of death, with the dying out of death. Keep a foot at the door, keep a foot at the door. 10 years of war. Keep a foot in the door. Keep a foot in the door. 10 years of war. For 10 years or more. So keep a foot in the door.
Listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Hey, it's Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunner, and you can hear this show everywhere. And when I mean everywhere, campus radio stations and on the internet. So there you go. Here's the scoop on all of this, folks. Like a chimp, a loser that I am sometimes, I sit there and I do all this listening to music. I'm like one of those old school guys where I like to listen to music. And I'm sitting at my computer and I'm farting through Bandcamp and I see this name called Underwater Sunshine. I'm like, I know that name. I know that name. How do I know that name? So I start listening to it. I'm like going, holy crap, this band's good. And I'm not saying that just because one of the people from Underwater Sunshine is coming up. I'm like legit, this is really good. How did I hear it? So I do a little bit more research. I do a little bit more reading. And it's a band that was out in the 90s. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. A little bit more research, some more thumbing around, and I find out they're from Vancouver. I'm like, wait a minute. So I reach out to Underwater Sunshine, and John responds. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And as I'm going into trying to find out stuff from John, I'm like, did you ever play a cafe with the Killjoys back in the 90s? And John says,
absolutely.
And the mystery has been solved. And I got to tell you, I was telling all of my friends about this interview coming up with you, John. And I was excited. And they said, well, what are you going to ask him? I go, I don't know. It might be just kind of like watching an old film of your family when you were kids. And or maybe it's going to be like kind of has that vibe of like rediscovering a grade school friend, you know, from so many years ago. And that's why I mean, we're chatting today, but this whole thing of finding out about you guys again after 25 years is incredible.
Well, yeah, you can imagine how we felt. Because we haven't been really in communication, even a few of us together for, geez, since 1999, a few of us, you know, we're in touch here and there through the early 2000s, but from what I hear, for the most part, everyone had gone their separate ways. And yeah,